Our second scripture reading for today comes from Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 and 25 through 26. It's on page 190 in the New Testament. Chapter 5, verse 16. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposite to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. And 25 through 26. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another.
The fruit of the Spirit. How many of you can remember those by memory? I'll read them. You say them if you can say them along with me. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as Matt read, those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. But since we live by the Spirit, let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. That's a great piece of scripture, isn't it? I'm going to start with a story. This is an old story. I remember hearing it once upon a time, you know, kind of thing. And I'm saying once upon a time, about 20 years or so, which really isn't all that old. But it may be a story that you've heard before. And if so, bear with me. If not, I think you'll get a little chuckle out of it. There was a driver driving through town, and he was being tailgated by the car right behind him. And just as the light turned yellow at a stoplight, a pedestrian stepped out into the crosswalks, and the light was still yellow, and he hit the brakes. And the tailgating woman who was tailgating him, she hit the roof, and she beeped the horn, and she screamed out the window, and she was yelling with frustration and cussing like a blue streak. And then she hears a tap on the top of the car, and she looks at the window, and there, standing at the rolled-down window, is a very serious-looking police officer. And he orders her to get out of the car and put up her hands. So she gets out of the car, and he orders her to stand still. I need to search you. And so she was taken to the police station, and there she was searched even more. She was fingerprinted, she was photographed, and placed in a cell. A few hours later, she was escorted back to the booking desk and given her personal effects. The police officer apologized to her and said, I'm sorry for this mistake. When I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn and flipping the guy off in front of you and cussing a blue streak, I noticed that on the car was a bumper sticker that said, "What would Jesus do?" And another bumper sticker that said, "Follow me to Sunday school." And your license plate holder said, "God, love God and neighbor." And a chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. So naturally, I assumed you had stolen the car. Could you see the fruit of the Spirit in her? She may have been a Christian, but she wasn't living it at that moment, was she? She lost her patience. She was being harsh towards someone else, yelling at them. Anybody ever hear that story before? Yeah, Brian, a few people. But it's so true that many of us know the fruit of the Spirit. We could say them in our memory, but sometimes we don't live them. And unfortunately, we sometimes would rather point the way to Jesus than to live the way of Jesus. That's a big difference, isn't it? To live the way of Jesus. It's easy for me to say, well, you should do this. This would be the Christian thing to do. And then should I go out and do what the Christian thing not to do is? And get some kind of a praise for that because I pointed it in that direction, but I didn't live it? Living the way of Jesus. That's who we are as Christians. The title of our sermon today is Fruit of the New Life. The fruit of the Spirit is, and then they go the long list, but it's all about a new life. A new life. I think we could all raise our hands if we said, do we all need a new life? Because it never ends. It's all of our life we work at that. We walk in that direction. We try to be more obedient to God, more loving to God, more loving to others, to live in the way of the fruit of new life. In the story of the vine and the branches, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And each branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that you will be even more fruitful. Have you ever been pruned by anybody? If you have a good mentor, it can happen. If you have someone who loves you very much and you're going down a road that they shouldn't go, it can happen. And it's out of love to help us be more fruitful, more connected with Jesus, more connected with each other, and living a new life. He also said that no branch can bear fruit by itself. I am the vine, you are the branches, and apart from me, you can do nothing. Think about that. We often want to do it on our own, don't we? I was talking about my little granddaughter who's in that stage where she was so happy about giving me all this stuff. I really praised her a lot because she's also in that stage where she says, I want to do it myself. And that's important. We have to learn to do things ourselves. But in our spiritual life, we need to know that everything we do, we walk with the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We walk with Jesus on his road. And we can't do without him. And we need to know that. But that develops a little later than 2.5 years old, doesn't it? Now, the Apostle Paul had a great concern for the people of Galatians. If you went back to chapter 4, you should do that maybe this afternoon or something, and read what Paul is saying to the Galatians. He says these words, and I'm sort of jamming them together rather than the whole passage, but he's saying formally to the Galatians, you did not know God. You didn't know God. And when you didn't know God, you were like slaves to idols. You were worshiping other things. They were idols. But now that you know God, or rather, God knows you, how is it that you are turning your back to the old ways? And I fear for you. Could you hear the trembling maybe in Paul's voice? I fear for you because they're moving in a direction of the way they used to live rather than this new way of living in the Spirit, this new life in Christ. Paul sees them drifting back to their old immoral ways. And in that text, even the text between where we sort of move from one little piece of it to the next one, that piece kind of listed some of that immoral action that they were involved in. That's not pretty. Paul is very concerned. The Spirit continually works to grow that sort of fruit in our lives over and over again. The Spirit will never give up on us. May we never give up on the Spirit. To keep us connected to the vine, with each other, and alive in the Spirit. When we begin to live by the Spirit, It sort of creates a bit of countercultural sort of living when we think about it. So I just want to go through that list of all the fruit of the Spirit and see how that works. Love. Do we love everybody? It's easy to love our children. It's easy to love our families. It's easy to love people here in the church. But do we love everybody we meet? Everybody we come into contact with? Do we love even those that we don't appreciate or hear about? Sometimes I sit down and talk with people and I hear more gossip than I hear love. And sometimes that's church people. I hear people criticizing other people more than loving them. But just remember, whenever you criticize someone, you're part of the criticism. Because it's in you. And you're just tossing it out toward others. To love frees us from all those things. To love frees us from prejudice. It frees us from hate. Love overcomes. It changes how we live. Love, fruit of the Spirit, a new way of living. How about joy? Don't you wish you could express joy like a little 2-year-old does? Wouldn't that be great? Sometimes I do, just for the fun of it. And people think you're a little crazy. One day I walked out, and it was raining outside. This was not June and July. We've had a lot of rain this couple of months, right? It had been quite a while since it had rained. And when I stepped outside and it was raining, somebody said a bad word about it. And I went, it's raining. Guy looked at me like I was going crazy. I looked at him, I said, well, aren't you thankful for the rain? We haven't had rain for like a month. He looks at me like, you are crazy. But I just laughed and I said, I'm thankful to God that we have rainfall. And then he smiled at me. He said, oh, you're one of them. And then he walked away. But I don't mind acting a little. You know, Paul said you should act as a fool from down there, a fool for Christ. You should be a fool for Christ. I try to do that every now and then. You ever try that? Give it a shot. It can bring a lot of joy into your life because you're acting out the joy you feel. And it's so easy to feel some joy but never act it out. So give it a try sometime. Peace. We're a peace church, and we talk a lot about peace, and it's important to us. And I think there have been many, many people in this congregation and probably many, many others who have acted out peace in many different ways. We live in a world that seems to be a pretty violent world all over the place. Now, that's not the whole world. There's a lot of great people. There's about a lot of loving people out there. There's a lot of people trying to work at peace that we don't even know about, and we need to pray for them, even if we don't know them. But peace in this world has a big need. We need to be peacemakers in this world. We need to work for reconciliation and forgiveness, and that's really important. I don't think you can have peace if you don't have reconciliation and forgiveness within our own being, sometimes even within our own family. I was at a church one time when a man who I didn't even know him, he called me and asked me if I would anoint him. He was near death. And I asked, who are you? And he told me his name. And I said, well, I'm the pastor at Carlisle, Pennsylvania. I mean, who? I don't think I know you. I know people who go there. Oh, okay. Well, tell me a little bit of who you are and what's going on. So he told me, and I said, well, I'll be happy to come and anoint you. He said, well, we can't start until 3 o'clock. I said, well, okay. So I went, and at 3 o'clock, two other men came in, and they introduced them to me. This is my older brother. This is my younger brother. And so we had an anointing. It's a beautiful anointing. And the two brothers cried, and they bent down and kissed his forehead, Probably 2 hours later, he died. They were both at the funeral. 3 years later, I ran into one of those brothers, and he recognized me. And he said, you're the pastor that anointed that man in the home there, weren't you? I said, yeah. He said, I don't think you know the whole story. I said, what was that? He said, my brother and I, we both were healthy. We had separated and never talked to each other for 10 years. And his anointing brought us back together. And there was reconciliation. And there was forgiveness. And we love each other and are so sad that he didn't get to see it actually happen. And I said, oh, I think he did. I think he knew what he was doing. And that was one of the times when I felt like I got to be a little tiny part of a beautiful reconciliation and forgiveness. And we so much need that. And that's part of what peace is all about. And then there's patience. When's the last time that you stood in a grocery line and got real impatient? That happened to anybody here? Oh, Matt said he did. When? You want to tell us? Now, we can all be impatient sometime. And the culture that we live around us in is such a hurried pace in life. Everybody is in a rush to get somewhere, to get something done. I got to go to this meeting. I got to go over here. No, I have this planned. I have 3 things planned. Oh, all at the same time. I mean, those things happen so much, don't they? Patience. So many people have no time to be still. Just to be still. Even if they're not Christians, it would do their heart and body and mind and soul, would do good for their body just to be still for a while. To look at the birds. To look at a flower. To look into the eyes of somebody. To just be calm and be still. I happen to also like long lines. I told you, I'm a little crazy. This one had to do about rain, too, because we were in Charlottesville going to a show. And we were standing in line, and the people around us were a little impatient and said, come on, come on, come on. Yeah. You could hear them grumbling a bit. But the couple right behind us, we connected, and we had a really good, friendly conversation and learning about each other, and it began to rain. Then there was really a lot of so we had I had an umbrella, and I had a rain. We knew it was going to rain, so we brought along raincoats and an umbrella. So I began to pass them out to other people. And the guy said, well, you're standing in the rain. I said, I don't mind getting wet. So next thing I know, there's about 7 or 8 of us all gathered around, and we had a little party there. And so patience can take away our joy sometimes because we're so frustrated that we can't get where we want to go when that new life of Jesus is right there around us and in front of us, especially when we do acts of kindness, which is the next thing. Kindness. Kindness is acts of grace out of the blue. A lot of times nobody knows why or why they're doing it, but it's a blessing to others. It's acts of grace and blessing in a world that's trying to get to the top. Kindness. Have you ever done those unexplained acts of kindnesses out on the street for anybody? Have you tried doing that sometime? I think Randy, not too long ago, ate a meal. And when he got up to pay for it, it was already paid for. And a little piece of paper said, pass it on. That's kindness without making a show of it. You just did it. And that's a beautiful thing. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit as well. I think of Jesus' kindness to all the poor and all the needy and all the hurting and all the wounded. And yet to every one of them, he would say, blessed are, and reach out in kindness. Such a beautiful act. And then there's goodness. Goodness is about living an honest, moral, upright life of integrity and trust. It sounds like a great society, doesn't it? And within Christian life, that's what it is. Our culture seems to want to blame others for whatever went wrong, to accuse others very quickly, to do whatever they think they want to do. They deserve it. Like we have a right to say what we want to say. We have a right to do what we want to do. I get a little tired of that personally. Back when I was growing up, I remember my parents saying that your freedom stops at the point of their nose. And the way we treat each other sometime, it wouldn't hurt as much if they would have punched me in the nose. Because we blame people. We shame people. We bully people. I mean, it's all over the place. We need to live the fruit of goodness. Goodness. And then there's faithfulness. And then a time of scandals and scams and hunger for money to give us faith to live in generosity and a simple way of living that cares for other people. To be faithful to God, yes. To be faithful to our family, yes. But be faithful to the people who need it. Now, how do we know who needs it? We don't always. But sometimes you can tell. And just to take a minute can make a difference in somebody's life. Faithfulness. You can be trusted. Gentleness. A short one. Gentleness is about humility, serving, sensitivity. And when we begin to live like that, some people see it as a weakness. And some people will even take advantage of it. And sometimes the best you can do is they take advantage of it, they take something from you, and all you can say is, I tried to do the right thing. And I think that pleases God. I tried to do the right thing. Finally, self-control. In a world that seems only able to turn to rage to solve its many problems, self-control may be the hardest thing to do, but it doesn't mean we have to do it alone. In fact, we can't do it alone. That's what it said in the scripture. Without me, nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 says it another way. Without love, you are nothing. Just a clanging cymbal. A lot of noise. No actions. One last quick story. When I was in high school and a little bit long after that, I had a very bad temper. It didn't take much to set my temper off. And everybody knew it. And I would get in a fight. But it was all because of a temper. I couldn't take teasing. I would just go, yeah, just jump in that. And then when I became a Christian, I decided, I got to stop that. And I made a vow. I will not use my temper again. I will stop it. I won't do it. I couldn't. I did it anyway. And what I learned in that is I can't do it by myself. I decided to treat it like Alcoholic Anonymous people treat it. They confess their problems. And they work at changing it through a higher being. And so I decided I have to put this in God's hands, in the hands of Jesus. I can't make it stop myself. I need his help. And that changed it. Now, I never, like the Alcoholics Anonymous, I never say, it's over now. I don't have a temper. I always say, yeah, I still do. It just hasn't showed up for a long, 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 long time, and I hope it never does. But you got to keep working at that with the Spirit and with God. That's where the transformation comes from. The fruit of the Spirit is a gift. I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But that just means we will work together. And that gift, with us working with God, with the Spirit, will nourish us. And when you think of all of these things on this list of the fruit of the Spirit, what it will do is develop in us the character of Christ. The character of Christ. Wow. Bottom line of this little message today is that since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I'm going to close with a poem. We live by the Spirit, guiding us on the way through the dark and night of Jesus' light, trusting every dawn to be a resurrection day, bursting with love, joy, and peace, and all seems right. There is new life growing in us, a holy celebration of love, patience, kindness, the Spirit leading us at a steady pace, seeing goodness and faithfulness growing in pure elation, being so alive and filled with gifts that we can only call it wondrous grace. Invisible gifts flowing from the Spirit into my very soul. The deepest gift, hardly believe, the change in my self-control. We make the road by walking in the way of the Spirit's giving, walking together, inspiring each other in this new way of living. Amen.